welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 415. I am your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave. And this is a little different episode here, something we're trying out. I'm going to tentatively call it a roll call episode. And basically what I've done is going to have each of the co-captains of this vaunted podcast send a little solo segment. Each co-captain send in a solo segment to talk about just whatever they've been up to lately, any thoughts they might be having, any random thoughts. And this is something I think we'll try a little bit in the future because, you know, with our schedules and being on different time zones, sometimes it's hard to all get together and commit to a 2 to 3 hour recording process. And then I have a 3 or 4 hours of editing and publishing after that. So this is just an easier way for us to all get on here and just have some talk about something that we've been doing lately or any thoughts we've been having. So it's just something I'm trying out. We'll call this a pilot episode, right? We're going to have segments from different co-captains of this podcast talking about different things. And I think it's just a way we can kind of get an episode out where we're all on it, but we didn't necessarily have to like get together, schedule a time, and everybody has to have 2 to 3 hours to record and all that stuff. So just another way to kind of break down some barriers and make it easier for us to podcast. We want to make this as less work as we can. We want this to be fun, not work, right? So this is why we're trying it. So I guess I'll start off with my subject, and I kind of what I threw out to all the co-captains is, you know, a 5 to 10 minute segment from each of us talking about something that we've been dealing with lately or something we've been doing, blah, blah, blah. So my thing has been something I've been dealing with lately, and I had recently finished a series of recording like acoustic music for my Bandcamp page, like acoustic, production music or whatever. And I went through, like, I don't know, I did like 2 or 3 of those albums. And all this time, I was like, I couldn't wait to get back to playing like loud guitar and recording loud guitar music again. And it gave me enough time to sort of like build up these expectations of what I wanted to do, how I wanted to sound, got all these ideas. And honestly, I think what started happening is I was making it a bigger deal in my mind than what I needed to. And I was building up expectations, which can often lead to a little bit of paralysis of what I call, and I get this from like, if you've ever like recorded in any sort of either a podcast or if you recorded any music software or if you've recorded on an old tape deck, whatever, it's hitting the record button and the red light comes on. I call it fear of the red light. And I've run into this. Sometimes it's hard to hit that record button, or sometimes it's hard to start a project that you've built up in your mind, and you've got these ideas, and sometimes you think about it so much that you build up these expectations that now you're afraid to start it because I think you don't know if you're going to live up to the expectations you have in your mind about where you want this project to go, or this recording, or this photo project, or this photo book you may have planned, or whatever it is in your creative endeavors. Sometimes the hardest thing is just hitting record, or just starting, or just getting over your expectations of what you have built up. Because you, in any creative outlet, we all think about these things so much, right? And we have these ideas, and we want to jump on them and really grasp them and run with them and change the world with our creativity, right? But I think that this is a bad place to be. I think matter of fact, just last night I finally hit record on this album, this more heavy guitar album that I wanted to do, or at least it may not even be in a heavy guitar album at all. I don't know, but I just finally said, Mike, stop building up expectations. Stop planning out what you think it's going to be. Just hit record and start the project. You know, just start. And so I thinking about this, I was like, well, surely there's research on this, right? So I did research, folks, and you won't hear this very often here on Negative Positive Podcast, where I admit that I did some research. So I looked into like the psychology of starting projects, creative projects. And I found this article on Psychology Today. And let me read this little excerpt that I pulled out from it on the interwebs. It said, "Resist the temptation to minimize your anxiety. That's a false macho response, and it lacks courage. It is also counterproductive. It gives power to the fear, almost guaranteeing that it will haunt you and prevent your progress. Here's why acknowledging your fear works. You're scared because you expect a lot from yourself, and you're afraid you'll underperform. When you acknowledge that fear, you're acknowledging that you might not have all that it takes to meet your expectations. You might not have all the tools, information, skills, etc. Admitting that, in turn, reduces your expectation of getting it perfect right off the bat." And that is advice right there that I need to keep in mind, because I think that exactly sums up what I had a problem with just in the last couple of weeks, hitting record on my next recording project, or even just going out and shooting. I just feel like I've built up expectations of what I want it to be, and worried about whether I'll live up to them. And this isn't what is. I think the thing that really nails the point here, you're not worried about what other people think. That's the thing. And because if you honestly, it might be easier if that was the case. You're worried about what you think. You're worried about your own expectations. You are worried about, whether you'll meet your goals for the project or your goals for how you want this to turn out. And because I think we build up, certain expectations out of ourselves, and it can be counterproductive. So I just found that an interesting thing to read as I was dealing with some fear of the red button, fear of the red light, fear of starting, hitting record, fear of starting a project. And I think another thing, just to kind of wrap this all up before I turn this show over to another one of the co-captains, is this is supposed to be fun, right, folks? We're supposed to be just having fun, being creative. And so sometimes putting expectations on yourself, I mean, granted, you want to grow, you want to get better, you want to do the best version of your art or your creativity that you can, but isn't really the main thing, is as long as we're having fun doing it, that's kind of the main thing, I think. So all right, I hope that was helpful to people, and I hope that made sense, and I didn't ramble too much, but I'm gonna go ahead and turn this over to our next co-captain. And folks, if you like this style of episode, please let us know, and we'll continue something like this in the future. I think it's something that might work out well for us. But until then, everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Folks, this is your co-captain speaking, Andre Dominguez, reporting from the sunny city of Sarasota, Florida. I'm here visiting my parents for the 4th of July weekend, and wanted to send in a quick little recording to talk about something that has sort of been on my mind for the past few weeks as I've prepped to come here and pay the old folks a visit. And that is the consideration of the end form of how you want to present those images that you take, and the effects that that has on how we tend to compose. To give a little bit of background, I gave my parents a gift of a darkroom print, a picture that I took of them several years ago that they'd never seen yet. And it was a 6x6 image taken with my Rolleiflex that I printed on 8x10 paper, approximately, 7.5 by 7.5 square. And one thing that, struck me a little bit was, as I was printing it, some of the elements in the scene ended up being a little bit distracting, and I ended up even cropping the image a little bit while I was making the darkroom print. And it just made me think about the fact that we have a tendency of trying to fill the frame when we're taking the picture, and then when we're scanning it, depending on some of the things in the scene, sometimes we crop the scan, and then when we go to make prints, whether it's a darkroom print or a digital print, oftentimes we, you know, crop it further or undo the crop or change the crop a little bit so that it fits the frame or mat that we have. So one goal that I have moving forward is, if I know that there's going to be an image that I'm going to want to darkroom print, try to think a little bit more clearly about what effect certain things are going to have on the printing process. You know, give myself a little bit of room outside of where my subjects are. Don't kind of box them in like all the way to the edge, just to give myself a little bit of flexibility. I think this will also be very handy for a 35 millimeter, since it's not a, you know, perfect match to 8x10, unless you want to have some, you know, extra space at the top or bottom, or, you know, crop the edges of the long rectangle pretty significantly. So, you know, this isn't a super deep conversation or anything. Just wanted to introduce the topic. If you've ever kind of struggled with some of these things, I'd love to hear your experiences. If you could send in a call-in to the podcast. But yeah, overall, it's just something that I'm trying to be a little bit more mindful of now that I'm doing more darkroom printing, is once I've got the image, you know, framed up in the viewfinder of the camera, just think like, do I want to take a couple steps back just to make my printing life a little bit easier? You know, what would this look like if I just printed it straight like this? So yeah, just wanted to offer that little thought. Hope you guys are enjoying these little, you know, 4 or 5 minute vignettes from the hosts of the podcast. If you have any, you know, somewhat similar ideas that you would like to send to us, we would be more than happy to play those on the podcast. The easiest way to do that is just do a little voice recording with your smartphone. Every phone has a little voice recording app, and email that to negpositives@gmail.com, or you can send it as an Instagram DM to us, again, at negativepositives. Thank you so much. Everyone stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Kooks here. Glad you tuned in, and I hope that I've got something interesting to share with you. You can be the judge, though. Thoughts about the creative process, right? I think all of us, and including Roxana, are chipping in on this episode, and I'm really curious to hear her point of view and everyone else's as well. One of the things that's always been on my mind, and I have never really come up with a solution to the question. Actually, I'm not even sure that I have the question perfectly ironed out. It all surrounds that three-letter word that we know, art, right? Because we're all making something. Theoretically, we're making art. But who's the determiner of that? Do I call something art because I want it to be art? I don't know. I was talking to someone once, and they said that art is a designation that somebody puts on something. And I think that's a pretty good definition. I haven't looked it up in the dictionary what it is, because I think that art is it's an emotional thing, and it probably means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So it really depends on how you feel about it. And as far as my own work goes, I've always felt that the person looking at it is the judge of whether it is art or not. I've never felt confident or even qualified to make that judgment for myself. So that's why you usually hear me use the word work because it is work. And being analog photographers, we're pretty keenly aware of that. Between, you know, yes, everyone has to choose a camera, but we make a choice if it's going to be color or black and white before we can use the camera. Then we have to develop it or have it developed. Then we've got to scan it or have it scanned. And then if we want to print it, then, as you know, I love darkroom printing. It's really where I see most of my work going. Sometimes I shoot color. I enjoy shooting color. I adore the idea of having or being able to print some color at some point. But as far as I know, they don't make fiber-based color paper. I know that sounds probably pretty snobby, but fiber paper is, it's so good. It's hard to deal with, but it's so good. I digress. Point being, we do a lot of work. It's a lot of effort that brings about something that you're holding in your hand or that is in a frame on the wall. And I usually try to picture my work or imagine my work that it will be on the wall behind good glass in a nice frame. Whether that's in my own house, a loved one's house, or even someone I don't know, someone who connects to my work. But sometimes people kind of criticize me a little bit and say that I should call myself an artist, or that I should call my what I make art. But I really struggle with that, because if you go back to that definition, again, I don't know, but I should have looked up the dictionary definition, but the idea that it's something that's, it's a designation that someone places on something. Well, who? I could go around saying I'm an artist, but I mean, haven't we seen a lot of that? If you've ever seen a movie called Exit Through the Gift Shop, it's a very good movie, and it's about a guy who decides he's an artist, and I think objectively he was not. I mean, that's the punchline of the movie, but it's a good movie. In any case, so you have that side of it is, what is art? Who determines it? And then the other side of that story is, when we're making something, when we're working on it, do we consider that we're making art? And I don't know. My favorite quote, or one of my favorite quotes, is from Picasso, that inspiration exists, but it has to find us working. And that really resonates with me, because I'm the kind of person that I can sit around and think about things all day long, but I haven't done a dang thing. It's not until you actually get out there and start working. And getting out there, whether it's in the camera, or getting out there in the development, or getting out there in the darkroom, or getting your framing tools out, any of these things, it requires work. And I think that when you're working, you get to a place that you might not have gotten if you were only analyzing and thinking about it. In another way, have you ever have a good friend that you can rely on, and sometimes you end up like just having a debate about something? And I don't mean a debate like a political debate, but you know, if we do this, if I do that, could this happen, could that happen, and kind of working through something. And a lot of times in those cases, I find that, you know, I have a colleague at work that we do this a lot, and we many times get to places we would never have gotten to on our own, and really have well thought out, strategies and product that comes out of that. So I feel like even on a solo basis, when I'm doing my photography, that work will breed more than might have happened. When you're out in the field and you're doing something, you might see something or feel differently about something. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is, I don't think that, you know, when Van Gogh when he was painting the Starry Night, I don't know that the guy said, I'm going to make something today that will, you know, that he could have foreseen what that painting was going to become, right? I mean, that person, he probably considered himself an artist, and he had a right to, based on what he did. But at the same time, I think that you still have to be working, and when you're working, you end up going somewhere, and that's when the inspiration hits you, and that's what carries you farther. So for me, even, it's hard for me to think in my head, well, I'm going to make art today. this picture is going to be artistic. You know, even I've struggled what do I call myself? What kind of a photographer am I? Because people ask you that a lot. They've asked me that a lot. And, you know, I think the definition of fine art is the intention of a photograph that's going to be hanging on the wall somewhere, as, you know, contrasted against like reportage, right? Or sports photography, or, you know, because there are things that are documentary and then there are things that are more artistic. But even calling myself a fine art photographer, it just sounds so pretentious, at least connected to me, at least the way I think about myself and what I do. So I don't know, does any of this make sense to you? Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever thought about it this way? I don't know. I hope that you haven't, that you don't have this dilemma, and that you're clear in what you're doing and feel confident with it. But as you can see, I'm not exactly, and most of the time I just end up putting this question aside and I just focus on making a good picture, developing it well, making a good print, and getting it on the wall somehow. So, and cutting window mats in 8-ply mat board is tough. That's another question for another day. But is it better? Is it more efficient, especially with materials and dollars at the end, to cut your own mat board, or at least the window mat, with the chance of damaging it or not, versus having it pre-cut for you and then assembling everything on your own? Sorry, I don't mean to digress. Different story, different day. I hope though that my thoughts or my questions, my unanswered questions, will maybe inspire you to feel or help you to determine how you feel about this. And if you would like to reach out, you can always write the podcast at the email coming up at the end. You can reach out to me on Instagram. I'd love to talk to you about it. So everybody, stay cool and shoot some cool film photos.
NPP listeners, it's Roxana Angles coming to you from hot and sunny Southern California, and it's basically blazing here at 115. So I'm hiding out in my AC, and my big question that I've been kind of wondering about is, how the hell do you get inspiration when you're stuck inside when it's so hot? Now, I know a lot of y'all like live in nice places where you can actually go outside in the summer, but out here, I can't leave until the sun goes down. So something that I do is I love visiting libraries and discovering photo books, and kind of just gaining inspiration from other photographers who have put their work out into the world. It's nice and cool, it's free, and sometimes I'll even order, if I really am in love with one of the photo books, I'll order it for myself. And in talking about ordering work, I actually just ordered a couple photo books from some of my favorite photographer/artists out in the community. One which it's a vintage Polaroid sorcery book. I mean, this book is amazing. Alicia, who goes by Elwino, and it's Alewino. On Instagram, she does these amazing Polaroids where she paints on them, and it's just the creations that she makes are beyond this earthly plane, if I could say it in any other way. It's just pure magic. The book that in the back, let me just read the back because it's remarkable, and it states, "This book is a photographic journey that leads through a path crossed by fairies, witches, and magical creatures. These Polaroids will accompany you on a vintage-flavored adventure to create the feminine and the power of modern covens." Okay, so that sold me when she created it. I feel like, sign me up. I want the book. I love how people put their own art on top of photography. So, which leads me to the second book I bought not so long ago. And this book that I also just received maybe a couple months ago is called Another World. And this one is from Shay Dattar. And her work is another one that I follow and I love so much. It's painted photography, and it's truly watching her on her Instagram paint these giant photographs with all these mixed mediums is just insane. Insane. She's definitely one of my favorite artists. And in the intro, she says that, you know, she first started using a Mamiya RZ67, and then I love this girl. So her artistic style, when I got the book, it came with a beautiful tote. So this was some of the summer reading and digesting and admiring two books that are out in the world that I absolutely love. So when it's blazing hot, sometimes that is what I do. Another question that I've also been kind of wondering is, how is everybody sharing your art, your photography lately? As usual, I feel like social media gets a little bit old. I get tired of it. I feel like you post it, it dies. I think I've said that a million times on the show, but I feel like you get likes, and some of the pieces feel like they should live a bit longer than that. And I would love to know what other people do. Like, do you print your work? Do you share it? Do you sell it? I've tried kind of expanding beyond what Instagram has. And I'm still on it, and I think it serves a purpose, but I feel like you need to sometimes feed your creative in a positive way, and I don't know if it always does. I don't think that all the viewers get to see your work. I feel like with the algorithm, it kind of robs you of that. I know I don't see some of my favorite photographers, and I would love it if I could. But I do swaps sometimes. A dear friend, Suzanne Peterson, she's B-roll. Suzanne, I'll put your handle in the notes. But her work is amazing, and we do film swaps all the time. We print out our work, and once a month we kind of just exchange what we've done, which I have to send hers out probably this week. What else are you doing other than Instagram or Facebook? You should message me, tell me, because I'd love to expand my own art and into something a little bit more widespread. I don't know. I started doing a lot more prints. I've been matting it, So who knows, maybe an Etsy store is in my future. I don't know. Lately, I've been exploring different cameras, different films. I've been shooting with a Minolta X700, which has been really fun. A friend gave it to me that I work with. And it's super light. It's been a fun camera to kind of test out. I've been using my Mamiya for my medium format and my Rolly sometimes. I just got a strap for my Mamiya, so lots of fun. So lots of fun things. But if you're listening out there, if you have any feedback, I'd love to hear from you all. And you can find me on Instagram at RoxannaLog. I hope everybody is having a rad summer. So stay positive and shoot some cool film photos, my friends. Also a quick shout out to our friend Ken Bertram, who gifted me some rad film for both my students and myself over the summer. I definitely, big shout out. He's been such an integral piece to my program, and along with so many other listeners. So anyhow, everybody, take care, stay cool, and stay safe. Have a good summer. Bye.
This is Mike Kukovica, otherwise known as Kooks, and you can find me on Instagram at The Drunk Darkroom.
This is Andre Dominguez. You can find me on Instagram at Andre on Film.
And I'm Mike Gutterman. You can see my photography on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We also have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives. You can support this program on Ko-fi. That is ko-fi.com/negativepositives. And you can get my music on Bandcamp at mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. A Gutterman Cave Production!